our good friend Howard Balzer, another one of our secret agents in the NFL. Let's talk about the Sean Merriman decision. What do you think that was inspired, shall we say, gently nudged by Marty Schottenheimer as he thought about what four games that Sean Merriman could afford to miss?
You know, it's very possible that that happened, you know, after he first decided to appeal, and that the thing is, once you appeal, you don't know how fast the decision will be made, and there was a possibility he could end up missing both Denver games, which certainly wasn't the best result for the Chargers, and the odds are he was not going to get this overturned, and so it certainly made sense to just take your punishment and get it over with. What's interesting is if he had accepted it immediately without looking for advice and hiring the attorney and saying he wasn't going to appeal, he would have been able to play in both Denver games. But by doing it now, I think it made sense. And I know there's a lot of people saying, hey, once you appeal, you'd have to carry it out. You shouldn't be able to orchestrate what games you miss and all those things. But like I said, if he had accepted his punishment immediately, he wouldn't have missed either Denver game.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he plays afterwards. It's pretty hard to believe that he was not aware of what he was putting in his body. I'll never forget the difference physically between a Brian Bosworth in 1987 playing for Oklahoma and 1988 with Seattle. He was destroyed by Christian Okoye. He was never the same guy because that was the first year of testing for steroids. Here's a quote from Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News, one of your compatriots, one of the best people covering the NFL, about looking at the leadership on that San Diego Chargers team with a very young quarterback in Phillip Rivers.
But again, Roethlisberger came in playing at a level, lesser level of competition in the MAC. He left a year on the table. Rivers is more prepared to lead a team than Roethlisberger was. They don't ask Rivers to win the games. They ask him to make four or five passes a game to contribute to the win. But defense and LaVine Tomlinson is going to take this team as far as it goes this season. And
my point is that Rick Goslin's basically confirming what many of us, I think, believe, that Phillip Rivers is the Ben Roethlisberger this year. And Ben Roethlisberger, unfortunately, is now being asked, in addition to sustain and recover from concussions, but to throw 30 and 35 times a game. They've gotten away totally from his previous role.
No, you're 100% right. And part of that is because they're not running it as well. Part of it is the defense isn't playing as well. And so all of a sudden you're behind in some games and everything is different. When you're playing from ahead, it's a whole different game in the NFL. And, you know, Rick was right on with Phillip Rivers because that was the wild card with this team this year, is how would he play. And he wasn't thrust into it as a rookie. He's a coach's son. He's a gym rat. You know, he's won on every level he has been at. And in some way similar to Pittsburgh, he has an offense that allows him to not have to be forced into making the plays to win the game. Just don't make the bad play to help lose the game. Not only Tomlinson, but Antonio Gates. You know, having a tight end as your main go-to guy, you know, that becomes kind of part of that controlled type of offense. And then when you're getting the protection and defenses are geared up to stop Tomlinson or Gates, then you're going to hit some of those other receivers from time to time, like Parker or like McCardell. So, you know, they're looking pretty good, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play in this stretch with Merriman out.
I think the plan is if they can win two of those four games, they're going to, you know, not be happy with it, but they'll know that they will have survived it. And then it's hard to believe that Sean Merriman isn't going to be a big part of that push because of the dominant style. Who do you think he reminds you of in terms of that kind of intensity for that young a player? It's sort of like a young Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, he almost is. And, you know, the Rams play the Chargers this last Sunday, and the coaches were talking after the game about how, especially when you haven't played them or haven't played him before, you're kind of surprised by what he can do. In the second play of the game, Merriman got a sack, and the person responsible for blocking him just said he just couldn't believe how fast he was on him and how big and fast he was, like a freak. Once you know that, then you can adjust and you get a little bit better, but the guy just has the ability to take over games and make plays like that. I think the interesting thing is, and here's what we have to look at, Nick. If this guy, we assume he was taking these substances, now is he going to stop? And is this going to affect him on the field if he was doing something that he shouldn't have been? So I think that's another aspect to look at, you know, as we head down when he comes back for the final, what will it be, you know, the final five games of the season.
In our final minute with you today, I want to thank you, Howard Balzer, from USA Today. You followed Seattle in its game where they found a way with Josh Brown kicking a 54-yard field goal at the end to beat the Rams, and now Seattle is playing the Raiders, who have won a couple games in a row. Here's Tom Flores, though, saying maybe the Raiders' problems aren't exactly all over.
The back 15-yard penalty is down. That's all they can drive all day. I mean,
Leonard, I swear, in my
45 years of professional football, I have never seen an offense so inept.
Never in 45 years. That's Tom Flores, who would think to be a little bit more of a loyal fan for the Raiders. So let's talk about, very briefly, your analysis of Seattle and the Raiders on Monday night.
Well, you would think that even with Seneca Wallace, without Sean Alexander, that as long as the Seahawks don't make mistakes, they will win this game. They're having some issues on defense, though, but they shouldn't have a problem with the Oakland offense. I mean, that they were able to win a game with 98 yards of total offense, 35 in the second half, is just mind-boggling. So there's no real relief in sight for that team. So it's all up to the Seattle defense. They don't have to win the game, but the Seattle offense, they can't turn the ball over. And as long as they don't do that, then they should handle the Raiders pretty easily.
Yeah, I didn't see the arm strength in Seneca Wallace. Forget about his height, just the arm strength. In that last drive there, he took the short route when they had to get a first down, and certainly not a Warren Moon-esque throw, but on the other hand, it was his first game, so that'll be interesting to watch. But thanks for joining us, Howard, as always, my friend.
My pleasure, Nick, as always.
You're the best.
Take care.
Howard, not Howard Cosell, but Howard Balzer, the living embodiment of Howard Cosell today on the NFL. And now we're switching gears to a man that I just want to share with the public every month or so, because there is such a cutting-edge science out there to performance, and in particular for us older people to recovery. We're joined by James Greenwell, who is captain and champion for the modern pentathlon with the British team for a number of years. And James, if you would, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Nick. Nice to hear you.
Tell us, so people understand, the kind of complexity and physical challenge of the modern pentathlon. Tell us about the different events.
Okay, well, Nick, it's an event that takes place over one day now, and it's five different events. So we have a shooting. It's an Olympic air pistol shooting event. And then you go straight on to the fencing sow, which you fence every single athlete in the competition, sudden death. A lethal blow simulation, and that's epee. We go from there to the swimming pool, where it's a 200 meter time trial. Literally, faster you go, more points you get. From there to the show jumping arena, unknown horse, you get 15 minutes to warm it up, then you show jump over 12 obstacles, including doubles, triples, water jumps. And if that's not enough, you then go on to the cross-country running trail, where you have a 3,000 meter race to the line. First over the line wins the gold.
Well, tell me, because I think most people, when I tell this story, just do not believe it. I remember Sonny Jurgensen tearing his Achilles tendon in a rut in the New York Giants Yankee Stadium field back many years ago with Larry Brown, the great running back, as their star, and the Redskins were, I think, undefeated. And suddenly Sonny Jurgensen, their aging quarterback, tore his Achilles tendon. That was basically it. I mean, he was gone for more than a year. And the story I have heard from you is that you actually tore your Achilles tendon. How badly did you tear it?
That's correct. It was 2003, my final season as an Olympic stroke international athlete, and I ruptured and lacerated my right tendon on the track down at Team Bath, which is Bath University in the UK. And my physical therapist there analyzed it very, very quickly and scanned it on the MRI and an ultrasound, and basically said, James, you're going to be 14 weeks before you're walking on this, let alone running. And of course, as you know, Nick, you know that I was building up to my final competition in my career. This was my swan song, my retirement, where I had,
and you wouldn't have it,
captaincy. No, absolutely. I mean, as all of the Olympic athletes and professional athletes, as you know, you tell an athlete to do one thing and they do exactly the opposite. You tell them to rest, and the first thing they want to do is go out and train. And you know, it's very difficult for any professional athlete to say it's the end. So exactly that, I turn to what I know, which is nutrition and physiology of how the body works, in order to heal myself.
Well, let's talk about what happened then. 22 days later, after you took a certain product, a new product, an experimental product, 22 days later, you were running. How far did you run?
Well, on the first run, it was literally just a sort of a recovery and rehabilitation run. So it was just literally going out and jogging very, very gently over about a mile and a half. It was about 3K.
That's far enough.
But just to take, at that point now, I knew that my tendon had glued itself together enough to get into basic rehabilitation. I had to be very cautious, obviously, because you don't want to re-rip it, but, you know, I was...
You had to ice it down afterwards. What other things were you doing besides, before we talk about what this product was, what did you do after you ran a mile and a half on, and what had been 3 weeks earlier, a torn Achilles tendon?
Yeah, well, literally, you know, as all pro athletes go, we always have to get rid of inflammation, so it's a case of resting and applying ice and making sure you're taking weight off the actual injury itself. And
you doing electrical stim or anything?
Sorry?
Electrical stim or anything like that?
No, I mean, it was just very much a case of... you know, looking after myself, eating healthily, isolating the actual problem area, which was obviously the Achilles tendon, and doing as little as possible other than when I had to train on it to get my body back into peak performance for the European Championships.
Well, what we're going to talk about the last few minutes of the show today is what you took, and as you look at what's happening in the pros with the 162-game regular season, with people like Tom Glavine at the age of 41 and Kenny Rogers at the same kind of age, throwing the ball 93 miles an hour, that the ability to recover, and then we're talking about the NBA now, 82 games, the constant pounding, and of course the NFL itself, the ability for tissue to recover, not just the joints,
absolutely,
but the soft tissue we're talking about, like the Achilles tendon, that's got to be crucial for those people that dream of having, you know, a functional health as they get into their 40s and 50s, let alone playing at the highest level in the world. It has to be a constant journey to find what's working out there. So what was it that you were taking, and tell us,
well,
how, you know, people can get a hold of it.
Just before I mention that, Nick, I just want to pick up on what you just said. You know, I was talking to a very good friend of mine who's Professor Greg White, who's the senior physiologist at UK Sport, and he has been analyzing professional athletes now for years and years and years, and he's talking about the professional football players, now that's your guys, and the professional rugby players, that's our guys. And, you know, the statistics, the clinical studies are coming up now that 90% of professional athletes post 40 years old have at least one athletic or arthritic or seriously ruptured joint. That's 90% of pro athletes playing in American football or English rugby or Australian rules are suffering from joint problems and joint health issues of this type, which is significant. You know, so when I've stumbled across this product, purely and simply in my own personal performance, it's going to make such a big difference. You know, and that's,
okay, so the product is called Protocol. It's basically nutritional collagen. We've heard about collagen with regard to the skin.
Yep.
But in the last 20 seconds in this segment, tell us what is special about it and what it can do. Basically, it restores the suppleness that you begin to lose as you get older.
It's a nutritional supplement. Protocol is a unique formulation from the UK. It's type 1 and type 2 collagen. So that's your hairs, your skin, your nails, but also your connective tissue, your ligaments, tendons, cartilage, joint health. We're talking bone density, so it's great for the ladies as well, post-menopause. The whole shooting match is the primary structural protein in your body. It's essential for everyone post-mid-20s.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're talking with James Greenwell, who came back in 3 weeks to be able to run on a torn Achilles because he took this Protocol collagen supplement. We're going to talk about that and how it can become one of the next generation of nutritional brilliance in sport. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.